Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Voyager actor, who also appeared as himself in the 1997 film Trekkies, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, your favorite forever ensign, Garrett Wong. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers.
Trekkies.
Yes. We almost warp particled that.
We totally did.
Just talk about that for a second. How did that happen?
I don't remember. Were you in Trekkies?
No. I wasn't. No, I was not.
I do. Here's what I remember. I remember that I was at a convention. I want to say it was in Boston. Yeah. I'm going to say it was in Boston.
Okay.
I'm actually going to say that. It was in Boston.
Say it.
I was in Boston for a convention, and I remember them. They were doing some filming for the documentary Trekkies, and they said, hey, would you, after your signing or after your panel, would you be willing to come over and just talk to the documentary crew? And I was like, sure.
And the person that said this was the producer or Denise Crosby, or who was it?
I think it,
that it
might have been
you?
Denise and the producer. I think they may have come over to the signing table and said, hey, we're filming a bunch of stuff for this documentary about conventions and Star Trek fans. And would you want to talk for a minute? Yeah, it wasn't scheduled. It wasn't a big deal. And I just went over between maybe my panel and the signings later or something.
Yeah.
Did a little interview. So
and that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Do you even remember what you talked about at all?
I have no idea.
Thank you.
I have no idea.
Well,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Speaking of Star Trek fans,
yes,
we do have to announce some winners to a costume contest, but let us first talk about what episode we're going to be watching now.
Yes. What is the episode?
Yes. This episode that we will be watching today is Virtuoso. So Virtuoso is the episode. Yes. And so without further ado, let's get right to the winners of this costume contest. We received quite a few submissions.
Yes, we did.
Amazing stuff. Contest. Yes.
So fun to look at all the creativity. It was really fun.
Really fun. But we just want to say right off the bat, for those of you who are not honorable mention or winners, please, you know, submit in the future. We loved all your submissions. It was very, very difficult for us to make this decision.
Very difficult.
There are so many good ones. I mean, if we could have said tied for first place, 9 first place winners in each category, we would have loved to have done
Everybody's
that.
A winner that participated.
Everybody,
honestly.
Definitely.
Everybody is a winner. Thank you for making a smile and sending in such great stuff. It was really awesome.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through all the categories that we were competing with, and we've got some honorable mentions in each category, and then we've got our winner. So the first category is the cutest costume.
Cutest. All right. So who's your first honorable mention for cutest?
First honorable mention is submitted by Kellen. Grace is her daughter, and she dressed up as Captain Janeway. Or as she calls her, Captain Jane Jay.
Grace. Let's clarify that. This is her 4-year-old daughter.
She's got the bun of steel going on. It's amazing. It's an amazing. She's got her coffee cup, her Janeway coffee cup, and of course the Janeway uniform with her pips, and she's adorable.
So congratulations to Kellen and her 4-year-old daughter, Grace, for honorable mention on that one. Thank you to Eric Martinez for his submission of his family, which is basically himself, his wife, and their 2 kids in Star Trek costumes. So that is yet another cutest honorable mention.
And it looks like Eric, by the way. Eric is in a TNG style costume. It looks like
uniform. Yes.
A uniform. And then his family are all in the original series uniforms, it looks like.
Yeah, I think they're all sort of different versions.
Yes, of Trek.
I think his wife is in the TOS uniform, but I think the kids are in the reboot, the J.J. Abrams 2008 reboot uniform.
So, they're adorable. Yeah, amazing they so family. Cute. I love the photo. You all look great. Thank you. Honorable mention to the Martinez family.
Yes. And the cutest, Robbie and I both agree, the cutest winner submitted by Maxine Bradley is Odin, the Norwegian forest cat, or Ensign Odin, of course, complete with his very own kitty version of the Delta Flyer. And I,
oh my God,
I gotta say, if you don't think this is cute, you are not breathing. You are not alive. There's no way. How can you not? Oh my goodness.
Odin is in a uniform with pips and a comm badge, and the Delta Flyer little cardboard model is amazing with all the graphics. Maxine, thank you for the submission. And this is our cutest winner,
Odin. Yes. Okay, so our next category is most creative, and I will talk about our honorable mention, and Robbie will talk about our winner. So our honorable mention for the most creative category submitted by Courtney Lucas is Quinn, the Borg dog.
Oh my gosh.
And I got to say, that's a handmade costume.
It's a handmade Borg costume. I love the thing that goes over the head with the little flap that comes down for the Borg
eyepiece. Yeah, the Borg eyepiece. My gosh. Yes. Borg green. And for Courtney to get this cute Quinn, the Borg dog, to sit still for this photo and not jump off the couch. I don't know what process was used in making this cute little dog sit like that, but good job. Good job.
Great. All right. And our most creative winner is Dyka Hoffman, and her costume and makeup is the Delta Flyer inside a nebula. So she's got a Delta Flyer model on her head.
Yes, attached to her head.
And then she's wearing sort of a nebula shirt and a scarf, and she's painted her face with face paint to look like a nebula, and she has
a backdrop of a nebula behind her, so it is
a nebula. She is a living nebula with a little Delta Flyer there. Very creative.
So impressive.
Great job, Dyka.
So impressive.
Most creative winner.
Yeah. Okay. Congratulations. Okay.
Okay. And next is our most realistic costumes, and we'll start with the honorable mention here. It is Jeremiah Brown for his Klingon makeup, hair, the wig, the costume, all of it really well done. I know the Klingon makeups, I've seen them at conventions before. They sometimes can be amazing and sometimes can be a little off. This is wonderful. Very realistic. The makeup looks great. Jeremiah, congratulations for your honorable mention as a Klingon and most realistic.
The most realistic winner is submitted by Ben Branham, their teenager, Trid Branham's submission to the contest, dressed up as Dahl from Star Trek Prodigy.
So good.
Really, really good. Facial paint. The hair is very similar, if not exactly. I mean, I'm not sure if the hair was always like that or if it was actually shaved to look like that, but boy, it's amazing. Looks good. Yes.
Yeah, the face paint. And this is hard to do, to take an animation character and bring it to life like this is really hard to do. So I love the photo. I love the smile on their face. It's a great costume. Great.
And the wardrobe too matches as well.
Yeah,
so
the wardrobe matches. I went on and just looked at this again. I Googled some images of Dahl, and just every detail's perfect. So great job.
Really good. Well, congratulations to all of our winners and our honorable mentions. Thank you so much for participating in our Halloween costume contest. I think the turnout, or not the turnout, but the participation by the fans for this contest, I just want to applaud everyone who did send in their photos for this contest. They did a great job, and I think we can make this a regular segment. Maybe.
Oh, this would be great. I'd love to see. They're so creative, the Star Trek fans, so that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, good. All right.
All right, well, let's go watch Virtuoso. And for all of our Patreon patrons out there, please stay tuned for your bonus material. We're back from watching Virtuoso.
Yes, we are. I'm feeling very musically inclined right now.
I know how you like music and singing.
I love a musical. And this was the closest I think we get.
This is it.
To a musical.
To a musical. This is the closest.
This is the one.
This is our musical episode. Okay. Yeah. So let's start right off the bat.
Yes.
With our poetry synopses. And I will begin with my haiku for Virtuoso.
Okay.
Komar has no tunes. Doc performs for the masses. Tinku has no need.
Oh, ouch. That hurts. The end of that.
Yeah,
poetry.
Yeah, and I
sometimes
poems
end with a
little bit of pain,
with a bite,
with a bite.
That one did.
Yeah, yes. And I matched. If you notice, my first verse was Komar has no tunes, and it ended with Tinku has no need.
That.
So I had a little parallel.
Did a little
going
echo
on.
There. Nice.
I did.
Nice.
Okay.
All right.
I'm waiting for this limerick.
Here we go for the limerick for Virtuoso. The Komar are delighted by the doctor's singing voice. When he performs, they all enthusiastically clap and rejoice. The adoration goes to his head. If Janeway's looks could kill, he'd be dead. Determined to stay, but Doc 2.0 took away the choice.
Wait. Yes. But yes. Choice rhymed with what? What were the words that you rhymed choice with?
Singing voice and
voice
rejoice.
And rejoice. Oh,
yes, he had a singing voice and they'd clap and rejoice.
Doc 2.0
Doc
took
2.0.
Away the choice.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank
nice.
You.
Yeah, thank you. I like it.
Okay, so this episode was written by Rafe Green and Ken Biller.
I was right.
You were right.
I got that
about,
one right.
You got 50%.
I got 50% right. You got, yes.
And directed by Uncle Les Landau.
Oh my gosh.
Which I was shocked.
You didn't think he was there.
I didn't
long.
Think he came back.
But he did. That my memory is, I think he even directed in season 7, to be perfectly
really?
Honest. Yes,
I hope
because.
So.
He just would, he showed back up again at least once per season. Yeah. We love him. So,
yes, love him. Okay. Our guest stars Kamala Lopez Dawson plays Tinku, the love interest. Her very first job was on the 1980s TV hit Miami Vice.
Oh, goodness.
She started in Miami Vice in 1986.
She must have been a kid.
She was a baby.
She
was from Miami, actually.
All right.
Kamala Lopez Dawson. I think she was from Miami, got cast in Miami Vice, which shot in Miami. In the 80s. And
maybe she was playing the young baby of a Colombian drug lord or something.
Maybe
like that.
Something you like know, that. Some, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ray Zifo, Shifo. It's X-I-F-O. I don't know how to.
I like Shifo. I like
Shifo.
That way. Yeah, Shifo.
Okay. He's a Barca is the character. He's the one that was really grumpy in sick bay in the first scene.
Yes,
His very first job was on a TV movie called Hard Hat and Legs, 1980.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
We have two other actresses playing the groupies. We have Marie Caldera as Aizen. And she was in Quantum Leap in 1990, was her first job. I was in Quantum Leap. So,
wow.
And the other groupie was Nina Magnusson as Vinka. That's the girl that you talked to in the mess hall.
That's
and then
right.
She became a groupie in the sick bay.
Mm-hmm.
Her first job was just the year before this, 1999, on a WB show called Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill.
I think it was like a soapy kind of show or something.
Yeah.
Mm. But the last guest star I want to talk about is Paul Williams.
Yes.
Plays Koru. Paul Williams, I love. He's a composer. He started as a songwriter.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And wrote so many hits. I don't even, you know what? I'm going to have to look it up. I'm a big fan of his.
I did not know. I know him as an actor, but not as a composer.
He's a composer. While I look up some of his famous songs, I also want to say, he did a movie in the 70s called Phantom of the Paradise, which was basically Phantom of the Opera as like a Rocky Horror Picture Show musical. And I used to go see it at the midnight movies when I was in high school. I love Phantom of the Paradise. Paul Williams is just phenomenal.
Did you tell him that? Did you tell him that when he came on set?
I did.
What did he say?
He was very pleased. You know, he knew. I mean, obviously, he knows that. That Phantom of the Paradise was a cult
classic. Film, yeah.
Cult classic. Please go find it, everybody. It's an amazing, an amazing movie.
Oh, wow.
So Paul Williams wrote songs like an old-fashioned love song. It's just an old-fashioned love song. That was him. He did Helen Reddy's You and Me Against the World.
Oh, man.
He wrote a big hit for Tiny Tim, Fill Your Heart. He wrote the Carpenters song, We've Only Just Begun.
And why did he even go into acting? I mean, he had so much success.
He wrote Rainy Days and Mondays, another Carpenter song.
Oh, my goodness.
And he wrote one of my favorites, Rainbow Connection, the Muppets song, Oscar nominated from the Muppet movie.
Goodness.
Yeah, the list goes on and on.
An extensive musical
Paul
resume.
Williams, I just want to save him to the end of our cast because I'm a huge fan and was so excited. I wish he had done more in the episode because he's a great
Agreed.
Actor.
Yeah.
And happy to see him in the episode. So that's all I got to say about Paul Williams for now.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. It's always nice to see when someone has success in one field and they go into another field and have success.
Super talented guy.
So
super
very, talented. Yeah, he's a triple threat or quadruple threat.
He's still alive. He's still
fabulous.
Let me see how old he is now. He's in his 80s now. He is 82 years old right now.
82.
Born in 1940. Yeah. But glad to see that he's still with us and love Paul Williams. Can't say enough about him.
Right on.
Okay. Let's talk about the episode.
Okie doke. All right. So we start in sick bay.
Yes, we do.
Where the doctor is treating some very finicky aliens. Abarca, is that his name? Is that what
Abarca
we're calling him?
Abarca is the main,
guy. He's the complainy of all.
The captain, there was a captain's log before the sickbay scene where we learn that we've towed a damaged vessel.
We're
attempting to help them repair it. And the doctor is treating the Omarian crew. She said they suffered some minor injuries. Right. So we know we're helping some people. And in sickbay, we see the Omarians and they're all tiny. They're really short. Like the doctor looks like some giant, which I thought was an interesting casting idea, which is going to carry into lots of scenes here but this race of aliens are pretty short.
Yeah.
All of them looked under 5 feet to me. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting.
It was.
Yeah. I love the part where one of the, I guess it is Tinku, is talking to the doctor like he's a child. And she's really slow talking, going, we want to see your captain. and then the doctor imitates her slow talking back.
Yes.
He's very annoyed. So
he is.
Yeah.
And then Janeway shows up.
Yes.
And she's apologizing to them for not being as advanced as they would prefer us to be. Basically, they're complaining to her that the doctor may not be the right person to treat them. Yeah. And she's saying that, well, he's the best that we've got. So that's what you'll have to deal with.
And they're like, we're not used to interacting with inferior species.
Yeah.
They're just so rude.
They really are.
But
they don't know they're rude. That's the funniest thing. They have no clue. Right. No. So, and the best is Janeway's look when she leaves the scene.
When she leaves, she
rolls those eyes
great faces.
No other.
And she says that she leaves. She goes, well, try to bear with our deficiencies just a little bit longer, which I loved.
I do love that as well. Well, the doctor goes over to, I guess, what is a workstation to prepare some hypo sprays and some medicine for these aliens. It looks like they have plasma burns or something going on. You know, they've got some injuries. And then he starts singing a little ditty right there. Right?
He starts humming first. He's humming, I've been working on the railroad.
On the railroad, yeah.
And as soon as he starts humming, I love what Les Landau did. He cut to each of the characters and their heads turned really quick. Like their heads snapped over as soon as he's humming.
Yes.
And they're just in trance. And then he starts singing the tunes.
Yeah.
And they say, do that again. They're just, they can't believe what he's
doing. Well, first they ask, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's a hypo spray. He's like, no, what is that? What you're doing with your voice? And then you're right, they're mesmerized.
And he goes, singing. I'm just singing. And they go, do it again. It was so funny. How we go out of the first scene.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah,
we're out of there. Actually, we come back after the credits and we're still in sick bay. And the doctor is singing again. He's
but
continuing.
Now he's like, he's projecting.
Oh my gosh. He's performing now. He's going big. Yep. And he's all in. And they just don't even know what music is. They don't know what is the purpose of music. And the doctor is giving them a crash course, music 101 or melody 101. And he's teaching them all the things that they need to know. And basically he tells them it's for recreations, because they think it's some type of, some type of code. Like you're encoding something, using this type of, because their whole society is based on mathematics. It's all about equations and numbers and formulas. And so they're confused. They don't understand that this can be just for enjoyment purposes only. They're shocked by that, but they love it. They can't get enough.
Mm-hmm. I love in this scene when it opens and he's singing, doctor singing really big. He sort of moves through sick bay and it pans across them watching. And then he sort of leaves the frame and he's singing off camera. And then he pops back in at the very end for the final moment. Yeah. It was very well shot and staged. It just made me laugh. It was very funny.
Yes.
And even the angles, like when they're gathered around him and he's telling them, trying to explain what music is. And because they're short, they're much shorter than Bob. He looks like he's surrounded by like he's a hero surrounded by these fans, and he's a foot taller than all the rest of them. It was just good low angles. I thought this whole scene was shot really well.
We have a exterior space shot of Voyager approaching the Komar planet. Looks pretty cool. There's also a captain's log supplemental, and the Komar have invited us to visit their system because it is now no longer closed to outsiders,
because of the singing. Apparently because of his singing, now open door policy for him to come. I love the space shot because there's these space stations. I thought about Deep Space Nine. It kind of looked like DS9 station a little bit inspired.
Yes.
But lots of them and lots of space traffic. So they're clearly very, very advanced. And then we cut on the bridge and we see the view screen where, Paris is navigating us through this traffic, and we see that on the screen and everyone's just amazed. We haven't seen anything quite like this before.
We're being hailed by Tinku, who introduces all of us to Prelate Karu. At least that's what I got his name to be, Karu. And that is our actor Paul Williams there.
Yes.
You see him for the first time, and Robbie's very excited.
I was very excited. And then I remembered this episode.
Yeah.
Then I
started
going,
you saw him, you had no clue he was in this episode, right? Then you realize, oh my God, it's him.
It's him. I remember being in the mess hall with him. Yes. I remember talking to him. Mm-hmm. Yes. As soon as he popped in, many things came back.
Yeah.
He
talks to Janeway. Janeway, essentially he wants to borrow, or he's, I don't know if he even asked to borrow. He says, we would like to have your technology of your doctor. We would like to have your hologram. We'd like to have it. You can give this to us, or at least we would like to have him perform. And Janeway's like, well, what if we just have a recital? We can have a recital on the ship. You guys can come up here and listen to his music, him singing. And they're very excited about this. They're beside themselves. So they do show up, and we are now in the mess hall, and the doctor is giving a recital. And he sings the first song, and they're so into it.
He's singing opera, and it's a beautiful, it's a Verdi opera. I forget which one it is, but he's singing a beautiful opera. I think that was Bob's voice. I think that was Bob that sang it. Do you know have a singing double, or because it was really sounded trained
that
operatic.
Sounded like him, but then later the opera in the concert hall did not sound like him. I wasn't sure. It was difficult for me to make that.
I think it's him. I'm gonna differentiation. I would bet that it's him.
Okay.
But he sings this opera song, and then When he finishes, our crew starts clapping and they look around. They don't know what applause is. And then they start doing awkward clapping, which I thought was cute. And then he gives a little history lesson about the Verdi opera. And then he makes some joke about going off on a tangent
and they a laugh.
Math joke. And they think that's hilarious.
Oh, they love it. No one else in Starfleet thinks it's funny, but all the visitors do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Math jokes are hilarious. And then he introduces Harry and the Kimtones.
Right. He talks about jazz, another version of music. And he wants
a different kind of music.
Different type of music.
And so Harry comes out to play the clarinet with a jazz ensemble, which I didn't realize we had such great musical talents. We have
so many totally
professional
forgot about
musicians on the crew.
Yes. I think there needs to be a Harry Kim and the Kimtones t-shirt. I think that would be very fun.
That's funny.
Yes. We haven't had a Harry Kim shirt
that's
yet.
That's funny. Right? That's funny.
Yeah. So that would be a good one. But the sad part is they don't like it at all. They're not into it.
They hate it.
No. And then Abarca, after talking to Carew whispers Abarca, and Abarca says, "We wish to hear the doctor." Like very loud.
Bring back the doctor.
Bring back the doctor. Yeah. And he's just, and you know, Paris is now whispering to the doctor, like, look, they're dying out there.
Yeah.
They're dying. And it's so weird in that one shot, nowhere else in the scene, you can see, it's like more, there's more from the angle. I can see like eyeliner. Cause like they would put eyeliner on us.
On you? Just
to, well, both of us, we would get a little bit of something there. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking about on Paris. You can see.
Oh, really?
From that shot, but nowhere else, no other shot in this episode do you see it. But it's heavier on that, just that one shot where you're telling the doctor, "Hey, they're dying."
Too much makeup.
Yeah. Well, it looked you were about to go up and do punk rock or something.
Well, I feel like they sometimes put more makeup on us human characters than you would normally put on an actor on a TV show.
Yeah.
Because of the prosthetic actors.
Yes.
That if we had no makeup and they had prosthetics, it would make them look
way garish. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So sometimes they always went heavier than I liked with more foundation or whatever they did.
Yeah. That pancake makeup. They did do eye stuff on you too, though.
Sometimes
right?
they did. Yeah, they would not put, always, but sometimes.
Yeah. So anyway, in that one scene, that's my note. I'm like, man, you can really see the eyeliner.
Well, I was dressing up for our visitors.
You were doing.
I was getting dolled up.
You're getting dolled up for them, is what you were. But thank you. You saved my bum because you convinced the doctor to get up there, and he starts singing to the tune that we were playing.
Yeah, he says, "Pick up the tempo, pick up the tempo," and then he starts singing that old Black Magic. The song. And now that he's singing, they love it. They love. So sorry, Harry.
I know.
That's really sad. Yeah, I thought you were great. I was enjoying
thank you.
The instrumental version. I didn't need the doctor to sing it.
I appreciate that.
But it was nice. so that's a big hit and a little we kind of dissolve into later in the mess hall. Mm-hmm. We find Paris explaining rock and roll that they should if they like music, like he starts talking 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then they ask, well, does the doctor sing that? I think Paris says, no, I don't think the doctor sings rock and roll.
Does Chakotay say anything at all? Or is it just you and Abarca?
I think it's
here?
Just me talking. I think it's just Paris talking about rock and roll.
Yeah.
But as soon as they find out that the doctor's not going to sing rock and roll.
Or he doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it. They're like, we don't. No, he literally just walks away.
I know. It's like he doesn't even care.
Yeah.
He just walks right away. Yeah.
And then we find Harry talking to a young Komar woman.
Yeah,
and
Vinka.
That would be Vinka.
Yeah. She comes up. She goes, oh, you're one of the musicians, aren't you? And Harry has this look like, oh, I might get a little action here. Kind of. Like he looks like he's going to.
Yeah.
He feels like he's going to make.
I don't know why does Tom get this reputation of being the womanizer when Harry is definitely. Harry is definitely the womanizer.
All right.
He's the one, you know, any new alien walks on. He's like, hi, nice to meet you. What can I tell you? Let's talk. Yeah, but you're flirting with a cute blonde woman.
All she wants is to meet the doctor. She wants Harry to introduce her to the doctor.
Poor Harry. Janeway's looking for the doctor, and she congratulates him on his performance.
Yeah.
And then the prelate invites the doctor to come perform on his planet. So everyone on the planet can hear this newly discovered thing called music.
Music.
Yes. And the doctor's flattered. And the doctor says, well, you'll have to arrange the details with my representative, his agent. Now he's got an agent. Yeah. Janeway definitely notices that the doctor is getting a little full of himself, starting to get a little too into this.
It begins here.
Yeah. She's clocking it.
Yeah, she is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We go to engineering next.
Right.
They're looking at the La Scala Opera House.
Yes, plans. Yes, that's right. Because yeah. The doctor wants to reproduce the background used in a production of Pagliacci at the Teatro della Scala, which is Earth's most famous opera house. And this is sort of a continuation of a conversation back in the mess hall where Tinku suggests that she can help the doctor make all the necessary modifications to the lecture hall to perform mm-hmm. in, instead of just a standard lecture hall. He wants to mm-hmm. make it bright for the acoustics. And so now mm-hmm. they're using Torres to help.
She's not into
design.
It.
Oh, she's not. She's not. She, you know what's so funny? The roles are like reversed. Usually it's the doctor with the little snappy little comments.
The attitude.
And man, Torres, your darling Torres is just giving it to the doctor
in every way.
It's so funny. So the lines that I loved was when he says, I plan to segue from Don Juan to Rigoletto in the blink of an eye. And first of all, he uses blink of an eye in the line, which is a little Easter egg to a prior episode title, right? He goes, it will be a triumph of, before he can finish, of, that's when Torres says, arrogance and self-absorption. So Tinku does make a comment that the doctor's crewmates don't seem to appreciate his abilities. And this is the beginning of the doctor kind of thinking about, well, you know, maybe I should go where I'm wanted. You know, it's his thoughts.
I love when he's talking about the costume change and he tells B'Elanna to change his, adjust his program so his emitter can change his costume.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm an engineer, not a costume designer.
Yeah.
Which I love because that's the doctor's.
That's the doctor's pattern of speaking, right?
Yes. Yeah. I loved it.
Complete role reversal here. And it was awesome. I mean, giving the doctor a little taste of his own medicine is always fun to watch. Yeah. And now we're backstage. And
we go to a planet. There's a planet shot first.
Oh, there is a planet shot. Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a planet shot. And I want to say, I felt like that was a recycled planet shot. I got that. That was a disappointment to me. I was like, I feel like we've seen this before. Like maybe they added a building here or there or something, but I would put money it felt old. It felt like it was something that had been used maybe even on TNG or something.
Yes, it looked very old.
Yeah. It looked old to me. It mm-hmm. looked like old technology, even for us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but anyway. I made the same note, and it was later because they use that same establishing shot.
Yeah, they use it a couple times.
Yeah, they did a couple times. So I made that note in the later showing of it, and I thought, wow, they spent very little money on this one. Whatever they did.
I think they literally just took an old planet shot from, I think, either our show or a TNG.
Or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked recycled. Anyway, I agree. Now we go backstage at the theater.
Yeah, the doctor's nervous and he's talking to Tinku. And Tinku doesn't understand where these nerves are coming from, but she says, well, you know, I can adjust those parameters to help you not feel those nerves. He's like, no, just a little nervousness. And, she says, okay, well, the show must go on. It's happening now. Let's go. And the curtain arises and he's greeted by a standing ovation, which is really nice. Usually that comes after your performance, but that's how it began.
By the way, did you notice? So this set that is the theater, they only built the lower part of it. All the upper stuff is visitex.
All CGI,
But As soon as I saw that theater, when he looked out of the curtain to peek the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the set we used in the Rock episode. Tsunkatsi or whatever that episode
Tsunkatsi? Was. Really?
Yeah.
It's the same one.
Which is coming up soon, I think.
So they used it for two. Yes. They used built it for, two for
this.
Yeah.
And then they
kept reused
that,
it.
That whole thing. Because I sat in that crowd watching the wrestling match or whatever for
I did too.
Quite a couple days. Yeah. We sat there. Mm-hmm. So that was the same exact set. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
But yes, the curtain goes up.
Yes. Standing ovation. And then I don't think there's, is there any, you're not in the audience, right? Isn't it just, they even show, I don't think they show anybody from the
crew.
Yeah,
they do.
Do they?
Yeah. Janeway's there. And I think
Chakotay?
Neelix is there. Chakotay. I think I'm there too.
You're at the last one, the very final one. I know that you're sitting next to Neelix at that one. So
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I remember Janeway for sure.
All right. Janeway for sure. Now we're on the bridge and Harry is talking to a crewmate when the ship switches to red alert out of the blue. Janeway comes over and asks Harry for a status report. He says,
who are you talking to? Do you remember?
No, just a background actor.
That yeah. I remember her face so vividly and I can't think of her name. And then I saw Tarek in the background. So it was a nice moment up there.
Yeah. It was a nice moment. But Harry did not order the red alert.
No.
And at that moment, Seven hails Janeway, saying that she has found evidence that the Komar are attempting to sabotage Voyager.
Yeah.
And the captain says she's on her way. And
Harry says, by the way, when it goes to red alert, before Seven even chimes in, he says, this command came from Astrometrics, Captain.
Right.
So it's like, wait, Seven can put the whole ship on red alert without the captain's permission? Like, I'm just, there's a theme here. Like, Seven's, she's in charge down in Astrometrics.
She has carte blanche. She can do anything she wants on the ship. Have we not established that yet? She can do and say anything she wants.
She put this
ship.
Entire ship on red alert single-handedly without anyone's permission. And then she calls the bridge for the captain and says, you need to get down here.
I know.
And Janeway's like, I'll be there right away.
Oh, Janeway's like, I'm right there. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
you know, I'll
yes
be,
ma'am.
I mean, yes, Seven. So she heads down there. But I thought that only the captain could put a ship into red alert. I had no clue.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. And so we now know Seven somehow has the ability to do the exact same thing.
It's season six. This is what happens in season six. Seven takes over. I've never seen anything like it this season.
It is insane.
It just keeps happening. They're little things.
Yes.
But it would never happen for any other character. Anyway. She goes down to Astrometrics and Seven says she's found some sabotage, that the Komar are trying to overload their comm system with irrelevant
data. Our comm system.
They're sending this data to us and it's overloading our comm system with irrelevant data, she said.
Right. And she tells us how much data. She says millions of teraquads of irrelevant data.
So she goes to show Janeway the irrelevant data and they look at it and it's all messages for the doctor. It's fan mail.
Yeah.
He's getting so much fan mail.
Yeah.
And Janeway tries to explain fan mail.
Right.
Seven doesn't know what is fan mail. So Janeway tries to explain it. There's a great camera move as she's doing that sort of circles around the backside of Astrometrics.
Yeah.
And I really thought it was great. It was a nice, just the scene breathed nicely. The camera moved nicely. It was
a
fun conversation about fan mail. So
and it's just so interesting that we have this as a plot, you know, in an episode on our show set in the future, which is kind of a parallel of our real lives when we're not in front of the camera.
I don't know if that was the intention of the writing of it, but
I don't think so either. It definitely made me feel that way though. I was like, oh boy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that scene that comes up a little bit later.
So Janeway finds all this very amusing. And she says to Seven as she's leaving, she says, just think, as personal friends of the doctor, we're the envy of millions of Komar. So like Janeway's like, look, we know this famous guy, so let's enjoy it. Why not?
Janeway is leaving because right before that comment about, you know, we're friends of the doctor and everyone is now envious of us in the Komar system, she got a hail from Tuvok saying there's a security problem on deck two. And so she's on her way again. Mm-hmm. Deck two corridors. We have the Komar everywhere. They're just all lined up trying to, there's a huge queue there. And Tuvok, he wants to refuse all further requests for transport from the surface. Janeway yes. agrees because this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Hundreds of Komar yeah. Swarming the ship. They're yeah. interfering with normal ship functions.
Yeah.
And the captain agrees. Yes. We should stop any more visits.
Right.
And get everybody back to their planet. And it's a funny scene. Oh, by the way, there's lots of extras that were all short again. Like, yes. I think we got every short extra in Hollywood for this scene because they were all, but, you know, 5 feet or under.
Yes. And they were all various ethnicities as well. Various yes. ethnicities of Komar, that is. And all short, all five yeah. footers or less.
Yeah. Or yeah. less. There mm-hmm. were, yeah, some, which yeah. I just thought was really a fun detail. And
for sure.
And we hadn't done that before ever on the series, you know. Mm-hmm. So then we go into mess hall and we see, it's hard to know what we're looking at first because it looks like a mini doctor
yeah.
on a tabletop or something,
right?
Singing. And then all of a sudden the camera pulls back a little, the real doctor's head pops in and he starts singing a duet with himself. And we reveal that it's a little card that's a hologram
yeah.
that will play a hologram of him singing.
Yeah.
So he's got a little mini holographic emitter that he's signing and giving to them. It was very funny.
Very funny. I wrote down the doctor sings with his mini me replica.
Yes. Yes.
And he's dressed like Hugh Hefner, basically. He's
yeah,
sitting
he's
there
in the bathrobe.
Yeah, he's
I
in
love
his
the bathrobe
or smoking jacket, whatever you want to call it. And oh, this is probably my favorite scene of this whole episode. That's and he sits funny. There and he says, please accept this 8x10x4 singing replica of me.
Very,
I don't know. This is the best. Funny. And Neelix is acting like convention staff, right?
Oh, yeah.
One at a time. Please don't touch the doctor's mobile emitter. One at a time. You know, this is something that we've seen at conventions as well, you know, trying to manage the queue of fans, trying to get an autograph from the actors. And my goodness, Janeway comes in to see this and yes. and Neelix is excited. And he's like, look at this. This is so amazing. And Janeway just, not happy with this. And
she's heading up right up to the front of the line.
And the doctor says, no, Captain, you have to wait in line like everyone else. And she says, I'm not here for an autograph. We need to talk.
And her voice got so deep. She's
did.
Like,
yeah.
I am not here for an autograph. We need to talk. I was like, whoa, she's pissed.
Yeah. She says that she's glad that he's enjoying himself, but it's getting a little excessive. And he says, well, he's just trying to ensure that first contact goes well. And Janeway comes back with, well, does that include using replicator rations to produce miniaturized versions of yourself? And then he goes, no, I would never do such a thing. The Komar have devoted an entire holo processing plant to manufacture them for me.
Yes.
It's what he says. And Janeway's response when she says, I see, is the best. She's like,
yes.
I see. I loved it.
Kate's, she's great.
Oh, Kate did such a good job with this.
He also calls her Catherine in this.
Oh,
scene.
My God.
He says something like, well, you understand, Catherine.
Oh, my
and
God.
She says, yeah. Oh, I wasn't aware we're on a first name basis now.
Yep. Yep.
And then she says something like, well, let me make it clear to both of you.
Okay, because she says, should I call you? She goes, should I call you Maestro? And
Maestro?
He's like, if you'd like, either is acceptable like that. And she goes, well, let me make this clear to the both of you after that Maestro
yes.
comment.
Yes.
Report to sickbay now.
You've been doctor, report to your Maestro, duties. You're yeah. done. Doctor, report to sickbay.
Such very a funny. Good scene. My yeah, goodness.
Very funny. Mm-hmm. We go to sickbay. Paris is treating
Vinca and Azim.
The doctor enters and Paris hands it off to the doctor. He's like, they seem to be fine. And the doctor starts to check them out and he yeah. realizes there's really nothing wrong with them, that they yeah. faked this sickness. So they
it's a ruse.
Get into sick bay and now they're coming on super strong and he is terrified and they back him up all the way over by his office and he eventually deactivates you know, computer deactivate emergency medical program. And he's out.
So classic.
Very funny.
Mm-hmm. It's a good scene. On stage.
We go to the theater. Yeah. Yes.
The theater. We're in the theater.
Oh,
Tinku finds a doctor.
Yes.
And she has created a new music composition for the doctor to sing. Mm-hmm. And it is based on the intersection of two fractals. So it's a very complex
mathematical complex, musical piece. Yeah.
Some of the notes are beyond human range.
Yes.
And the doctor says, well, I can't do this. And she says, well, you know, you're not human and I can help you reconfigure your vocal processors.
She says to him, why do you have to go? Why don't you stay here with us? And this is a scene where I really felt an honest emotional connection, just like the doctor was experiencing. Like he's starting to fall for her. She's, you know, she really appreciates him. She says, you know, why can't you stay here? He says, why? I have to go. They're my friends. And she said, they don't appreciate you like we do.
Yeah. And then he also makes that comment. He says, well, not everything is a mathematical equation. And she says, well, what about this one? 1 + 1.
Yes.
Which to me sounds like she's into the doctor. It sounds like
absolutely.
It is. And he believes that too. You can see his reaction to that comment. Yes. So that sort of steals his nerves and he's ready to talk to the captain. He is now in Janeway's ready room and he's resigning his commission. He's not going to be the doctor on Voyager any longer. And
she says, I thought this was just going to be harmless fun.
Yes.
But this is going too far. He says, no, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for me to fulfill my dreams.
Yeah.
And then they get into a really heated scene. This was a long scene.
Very long.
And a really classic kind of Star Trek debate about humanity and about, you know, whether Data was a, you know, android or more human, whether Spock has human quality. It's the classic debate, but it was a big, deep one. And I thought it was really, really great. He even says at one point, well, what if I were Harry and Harry Kim met an alien and wanted to stay, you'd let him go. And he's very emotional in this scene. He argues that he's earned the right to be treated like any other crew member, just like Harry, if he's fallen in love. And then she says something like, well, you know, fame is often temporary.
Yeah.
And he says, this isn't about fame.
Yeah. In fact, there's a woman involved, is what he says.
It's a woman. Yeah. Yeah. And then Janeway makes a comment in the scene at one point when he says it's about a woman, where she says, wow, well, it sounds like you have everything you need. And I keep thinking about Fairhaven and how Janeway has been wanting a relationship and she's jealous that the doctor's found it. Like it was a moment of she wants love too. And she hears that he thinks he's found it and he's going to get it and she can't. And so it was very interesting.
It is.
But she ultimately gives in and says, as his friend, I'm not going to stand in your way.
Yeah. As your captain, I should decline your request to resign your commission. But as your friend, I'll let you do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Exterior space shot of Voyager in orbit of the Komar planet. And then we're back in sick bay where we have Tom Paris getting last minute instructions and reminders.
Medical needs.
Yeah, everyone's medical needs are basically, And Tom's just like, dude, I know the drill. I've been assisting you for 3 years. And then I wrote a note, 3 years. Is that right? You've been assisting for 3 years now?
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was been that long, but okay.
Well, since Kes left, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Basically, I became the nurse.
Third year now. Yeah. And then, of course, the doctor says, well, I thought of all people, you would be glad to see me go. And Tom says, well, who am I going to torment now?
Exactly.
So Tom's actually not happy that he's going to go.
Yeah, it was a nice scene.
It was a good scene.
And then we go to cargo bay and the doctor enters.
Yes.
And at first, when he came in, because she was up on the platform, I didn't realize the staging of the scene, he looks super short. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's transformed himself into one of the aliens.
Komar.
The Komar. He's a short Komar alien. But then she steps down and I realized he wasn't tiny like that. But.
Oh, speaking of which, I'm going to just reverse a little bit. In that debate in the ready room, Janeway at one point gains the higher ground by stepping up into that high upper area to look at, you know, and to make sure that she's more dominant in that debate. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, there was a lot of, Les did a lot of things with, you know, people up high and down low and low angles and things. I really liked it. I thought it was visually very interesting. But the doctor goes in to talk to Seven. He says he's downloaded 17 new chapters of her social lessons for her to study. And Seven is pissed in this scene. She's not happy about the doctor leaving.
She's not happy, but she, the way it was played to me was, it was almost as if that she was as if he was breaking up with her, like as if they were in a committed relationship is the way it looked like to me. And that, that I didn't think was the right way to play it personally. So it just,
it was, it was such a, she played it so emotionally. She's mad at him that he just wants attention, and she brings up fan mail in the scene.
Yeah.
You just want more fan mail. And he says, well, maybe it, you know, that makes him feel like, you know, he's made of flesh and blood. And Tinku calls him and he's got to leave. Yeah. And at the end, she goes from like the one of the angriest I've ever seen Seven.
Yeah.
To like this longing, this long close up on Seven kind of yearning for the doctor's exit. It felt very romantic to me in a way that didn't seem justified.
Right. So you're agreeing with me then, right? Yeah. It was like, where is this coming from? I mean, if this is your mentor, someone who's been helping you, you can be upset, but you can't get to the point where you're like, how dare you leave me? It should be, you're not heartbroken. You should be like, well, I wish you well. You know, you've been my mentor. I only wish for your happiness. And if your happiness means you want to stay on this planet, well, so be it. Right. But instead, it seemed like they were married. And he just told her, look, you know, I'm leaving you for another woman named Tinku. And every time he says Tinku, I'm waiting for him to say Tin Cup or something like that.
I keep thinking of Tintin, the cartoon, the animated movies. The Tintin movies.
Yes, I remember those. But this was an off scene for me. It didn't play well for me. I just didn't understand it, where the motivation came from.
Yeah.
But yes, he's drawn away because he gets a message. He's hailed by Tinku saying that she has a surprise to show him. And he's thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be something romantic for my dear. Yes. He's so excited. And guess what? He shows up at Tinku's lab. And she has created a superior holo matrix. So basically a hologram that's better than the doctor.
Looks then, just like the doctor, but it's got the
Komar ridges and everything. Ridges. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she goes, isn't this great? You can stay on Voyager.
Yeah.
She's like, you're going to love this.
I had a hard time watching any scene that she was in just because I kept staring at that one final little lower triangle on her little forehead. I felt like I just wanted to put a green pea in it. Like just like boop, put a little, I'm sorry. It bothered me. But yeah, so the new hologram is a work of art or a work of technology in that it can sing at these crazy, crazy, crazy octaves far above what any human can sing. So he does sing a little bit, but then he starts boasting about all his merits and the doctor just deactivates the hologram. Off. He just turns the whole thing off. He's like, no.
Yes. Mm-mm. He has polyphonic sequences and harmonic overtones and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he turns them off.
Yeah.
And he says, music is much more than just mathematics. And that the doctor says, I'm much more than a program. And all of my experience, all my passion that I've experienced goes into the music. It's artistry. It's my soul. Mm-hmm. And then he says, I thought that's what you wanted. Mm-hmm. And she's listening, and then she's very cold in the scene. But the copy is far superior.
Yeah. And she also says, and you showed me that you were hesitant to stay here. You wanted to stay with your crew. So I thought this is a win-win situation. And the doctor starts going into, but I thought that we were going to end. He doesn't end his sentence.
He says, I thought that maybe you and I.
And she's like, what? She had no clue where he was going. And that's when he realized she had no romantic love. It was a never mind thing.
Poor doctor.
Yeah, it was. And he says, well, I guess you won't need me tomorrow night then. She goes, no, you're definitely going on tomorrow night for your farewell performance.
Yeah.
And he was just crestfallen at that point. Yeah. Very sad.
Then we go to sick bay and he's practicing for his farewell performance and he's trying to hit this super high note. He's like, oh, and kind of he kind of, you know, goes too high, can't quite reach it.
Yeah.
I was like, ouch, it hurt my ears a little bit.
B'Elanna comes in.
B'Elanna comes in.
And he wants B'Elanna's clearance code to delete his medical database. This is how desperate he is. Like he, and she's like, you sure you want to do that? If you give one of your fans a heart attack, you won't be able to resuscitate him, which is another dig, another dig a la the doctor by B'Elanna, your beloved. I laugh so hard at that.
Yeah.
And no, he needs more space in his matrix to expand his musical subroutine so he can sing Tinku's composition. Mm-hmm. Because if he can sing it, she will see him for the artist he truly is. And Torres looks at the doctor and says, look, I don't know what's going on, you know, between you and Tinku, your girlfriend, but I can change all the subroutines you want. But guess what? You're not going to be you anymore. Mm-hmm. And that sort of rests
that,
on him.
That makes sense to him. Yeah.
That hits home.
Yeah. Cause but, that's really what he wants is to be an individual. He wants to be, have the qualities of a human.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to a planet shot again.
Is this the same one? Yes. Yeah. This is the one where I wrote the cityscape one that they did not spend much money on. It. Yes.
We're in the theater now. The doctor's in a tux.
Yeah.
And he says he can't sing Tinku's song.
Right.
But he'll sing an aria about lost love.
Neapolitan ballad about lost love, about his lost love for Tinku, clearly.
Yeah.
Tom and Neelix are seated together, and you two must have had a heyday sitting up there filming, joking around. I was so jealous. I was like, where's Harry?
Well, I'm sure we
Harry
did have
wasn't
fun.
There. I know you had fun that day. That must have been a fun day for you. And Janeway's there by herself. So the only Starfleet crew we have are Janeway, Paris, and Neelix in this final performance.
That's the only ones that love the doctor.
Clearly.
And Seven's pissed at him, so she's not going.
Not there. And Janeway's emotional in this scene. She wipes away some tears.
Yes.
Tinku does introduce
And it's a beautiful ballad, by the way.
It is. It's really very moving. It's nice.
But the Komar don't like it very much. They're like, meh.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think about that, when I was watching that, I started thinking how much of Italian art and culture that Bob was able to showcase on our show. If you think about this, like all the operas and things like that. And, you know, he really was able to get that in there, which is something
that no one else got a chance to do,
I think, you know, so good for him. She wipes away tears. The new improved holomatrix comes out. Tinku introduces the holomatrix that she programmed, and he starts singing so well. He can sing bass and soprano and male voices and female voices.
It's all over the place.
But at one point that you can hear male and female voices coming from him at the same time. So it's like he's singing two voices at the same time, which nobody can do.
That performance terrified me, by the way.
It was scary.
But it was scary.
The Komar loved it. The Komar loved it. Janeway, Paris, and Neelix are just kind of looking around like, okay, well, clap, I guess. You know, there's a little nervousness there, but it was a little scary watching that performance for sure.
Go to the ready room. The doctor appears in Janeway's ready room and asks to be reinstated. And he wants to delete all of his musical subroutines. He doesn't want to sing anymore. He wants to get rid of that part of his program. And she says, no, you can't get rid of that.
Yeah.
Just like Seven said, you know, you wouldn't be you. Yeah. Unless you keep all of you. And so she says no, and he leaves.
But the doctor does get a little reprimand first, right? When he comes in to give her that formal request to be reinstated, she goes, so you've come back with your tail between your legs, kind of thing. So, but Janeway basically says, I want you to stay the same way you are with all your subroutines, musical subroutines included. So he's happy about that.
We go to sick bay.
Yeah.
And the doctor is watching his mini hologram again, the little mini projector. And then he kind of slides it into the trash off his desk, and the camera pans over to Seven. I love that.
How many shots do you think they did that to make it into that bin? You know, so
it was great.
Really, really cool. Yeah. Definitely. Seven comes in and reads. Well, she says, I have a piece of fan mail for you. And the doctor is like, well, I don't want to hear it. Forget about it. She's like, well, I'm going to read it. So she reads it. And basically, it's very touching.
It is very touching.
Even though that you may not have enjoyed, you may not have thought you did the best performance, but there's still people that really care about you and think you're very talented, and I am your biggest fan. And the doctor asks, well, who wrote that? And she says, 7 of 9, tertiary adjunct of unit mixture 0/1, whatever. So it's a really touching.
It's very sweet. Ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very sweet ending and wrapped up that storyline nicely with Seven and the doctor. And after she leaves, he goes back out into the main part of sick bay. Mm-hmm. And we see him starting to sing, I've Been Working on the railroad again.
Yeah.
Back to the beginning.
So. Nice little bookend scene right there. Right? Yeah. I agree. Okay. So
there you go.
What's your lesson from this one?
I kind of had two lessons, I guess. I wrote down that one lesson is the ego can be easily tempted. That's a lesson for all of us is to keep our egos in check and getting sort of buttered up and praised and stuff can easily go to your head. And the other lesson I got is fame is fleeting. I think for so many people, not just Star Trek actors who, do a show for a few years and feel like you're on top of the world. And luckily we have Star Trek fans that keep this franchise and the actors that have been a part of it alive through fandom. But a lot of people, like athletes or pop stars or whatever, or even in business, I guess, if you work for a company and one week you could be the hero with the project you've found a solution for, and then you're just back to being one of the regular company people. So fame is fleeting in lots of ways in our lives. And so those are the two lessons, the ego, check your ego and remember that fame is fleeting.
It's really easy for things to get to your head. I think as human beings, it's really easy.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's a great lesson. And I wrote famous fleeting as well. Never change who you are to try to impress someone else. Be yourself. That was another lesson that I had, because a lot of times, man, I mean, that ending scene where he's with B'Elanna and he's just asking her, he's so desperate to have what he wants to show her, that he's that he has value or that he means something or that he's important. And boy,
he thinks he has to be something else. More than he is.
Yeah.
When he's just perfect the way he is.
Yes. Everyone is perfect the way they are. They don't need to sit there and change, 15,000 things about themselves in order to impress somebody else. Right. I mean, and if that's the way you have to go about life, boy, that's a miserable existence to constantly try to kind of
looking for the approval of others.
Oh yeah. Like, what if I do this, is this what everyone's going to dig? Or if I act this way, is this how everyone's going to like me? Boy, that's just not the way to live. So So my lessons, like yours, famous fleeting is one, but really most importantly, my lesson from this is be yourself.
Yeah.
And love yourself and know that you are enough as you are.
Yeah. So, great.
Yeah.
Ratings.
I am going to give this, my rating is 7.3.
Oh,
7.3. What is yours?
Interesting. Well, I love musicals and this is a musical episode. It does have pretty much everybody in it.
Does.
There was a lot of laughs in it. Yeah. It hit a lot of the bases for me. So I'm going to give it an 8.4. I really like this episode. And Paul Williams, come on. Paul
Will. Oh yeah, that's a plus there.
Love Paul Will.
I'm going to say before you open it up, I'm gonna this is my new thing. I'm gonna say my heart rating and then what I think the average rating is gonna be.
Okay.
So I think the average rating on this is going to be 7.7.
Okay.
Just under 8, basically.
And what was your rating?
7.3.
Okay, the Admiral and Captain's average rating for Virtuoso is 6.7.
Wow. It's even lower.
Wow. I wonder why did people not love this episode? I really enjoyed it. I thought Bob did such a good job and Kate was phenomenal. I'm a solid 8 or 9 on this.
Yeah, but you love music. And so there's a lot of music in here. And I like music as well. But, you know, it's also hard for me to watch an episode where our holographic doctor, who is a program, is basically dealing with falling in love with this way. I mean, just a lot of it, I was like, come on.
Yeah, you have those.
I still have those issues.
Things where that just like, you don't want to go there.
I don't want to go
there. I don't mind that.
You're okay
at all.
With that. That's okay.
I don't mind. In fact, I love it. I love it when technology becomes more human, when Vulcans mm-hmm. become more human, when Klingons find their humanity or humans find their Klingonness. I like when we start to see others in ourselves, that we have parts of
who. And I like that too, when they are people that are flesh and blood, you know. And they get this goes all back to the whole argument we've had, or discussion we've had since day one, of the doctor wanting to have recognition for being sentient and being a his own being. But again, he's not flesh and blood. And that's always been my debate in my own head. You know?
I know. So, I know you've got that. Well, I still give it an 8.4.
Okay.
What did you say again?
6 point. What's the average rating?
6.7.
Dang.
Wow.
I thought it would be higher from the
It's Apples a musical. Captains. Musicals, you know, not everybody loves a musical. So, okay. Thank you,
all right,
everybody.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Join Robbie and I next week when we discuss the Voyager episode, Memorial. 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 Will you remember what Memorial? Will you remember what Memorial was about? What do you
think? I will remember.
Okay, cool. Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.